Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Tonight, I want to help somebody that might need a miracle tonight. Maybe somebody that needs to be saved, healed, delivered. You got a real crisis in your life. I want to help you. But I also want to lay a building block for what I believe is the future of this church, because I believe that God has us here for such a time as this. And with what's going on in this world, we don't need just a religious gathering, but we need a spirit-filled, spirit-anointed place where God is supernaturally moving to arrest people and bring them to the kingdom of God, deliver them, set them free from demons, heal their bodies, save their souls. And so we want to talk about that a lot in different ways the next few weeks. So let me continue what I was talking about last Wednesday night. What the Holy Ghost responds to, part 3, John chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. This is Jesus talking about something that's going to happen, hadn't happened yet. He said, when he will come, is come. In other words, it hasn't happened yet. So he's talking about the advent of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. You may be seated. God bless you. What the Holy Ghost will do for the believer. You know, the case can be made, and I make the case tonight, that if you study the Bible, the Gospels, of course, is the life and the record of Christ's ministry. But beginning with the book of Acts, throughout the epistles, it is the record of the church. It's the church being born in Acts chapter 2. And then it is the actions of the Holy Spirit inside the church throughout the rest of the book of Acts. And then the epistles are the letters written to those churches. And so the case can be made that after Pentecost, after the birthday of the church, that there was not one Christian on the face of the earth that existed without the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at our problems in this world, I lay that charge at the feet of the church. And somebody said, why is the church to be blamed for all that is rampant in our life? Because God put us here to be the salt. God put us here to be the light. God put us here to be the controlling factor. And we simply have not done that the last 2,000 years. We certainly have not done that the last 50 years in America. And so if you believe that, the question you have to ask is, why is the church not the church? Why is the church not what the church was in the book of Acts? And the answer is very readily available. Because we are simply not filled with the Holy Spirit as a church. When I say we, I'm talking about Living Way Church, all the way to the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Baptist Church, Assembly of God, whatever we are. All of we Christians, all of we tribes of Christians, are simply not what the early church was. For this is the truth, that there was a residency, there was an inhabitation, there was a filling, there was an overflowing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And why is that so important? Because we cannot be perfected by the flesh. I shared that text with you, Galatians 3, 1 and 2 and 3. We simply cannot be perfected. In other words, we cannot perform. We cannot be what the church is without the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, the church would like to substitute all the things of the world, education, psychology, on and on, the endless list, to change the world. We cannot change the world by being like the world. We have to be transformed. We have to be different. We have to be a totally different individual, a totally different tribe, a different nation. The Bible calls us a nation. We have to be a different nation than the world, and that means that we have to be a spirit baptized, spirit driven. And as Jesus said, a person that is led and guided, the church as a group, led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And so the case could be made, and rightly so, that after Pentecost, every believer was baptized in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's always a discussion, can you be baptized in the Holy Ghost without the evidence of speaking in what we call glossolalia, what we call other tongues, what we call the new tongues, what we call the prayer language? Can you be filled with the Holy Spirit of that evidence? And the answer always comes back, yes, you can. But it's always from people that are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the record in the Bible is glaringly clear that when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost, they spoke in a new language. What is the purpose of that? Number one, the Bible said it's a sign to the unbeliever. The Bible said when the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit, if it had not been for that evidence, the Jews would not have conceded the point that the Gentiles were baptized in the Holy Ghost. But Peter said, you can't deny it, seeing they received the Holy Ghost the same as we. They spake in tongues and prophesied. And so why is that necessary? It is an evidence, but it's also an indicator that the flesh, which the Bible said has enmity with the Spirit, has been overcome by the Holy Spirit. And friend, that's the real essence of our life, is that we would be led and guided by the Holy Ghost. That cannot happen if our flesh is stronger than the experience we have. And so I've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, as most of you that are here on a Wednesday night have been baptized with the Holy Ghost. But the Bible indicates it's not a one-time experience, but it is something that you are renewed in day by day, again and again. In the book of Acts, and it said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And many times, these were people that had been previously filled a chapter or two or three before. You should be filled and refilled. You should learn to pray in the Spirit of Almighty God, because your flesh will resist the Spirit of God, but you've got to make sure that the Holy Ghost is dominant in your life. We have so many Christians today that do not have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it is difficult for them to live a Christian life. You simply cannot do it. They try to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. People tell me all the time, you know, I don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, but I've got the gift of healing and the gift of discernment. No, you don't. No, you don't. Because it's called the gifts of the Spirit. In order to have a gift of the Spirit, you first must have the Spirit. Now, you might be able to guess, and you might be able to pray for somebody and they get healed, but you don't have the gifts of the Spirit until you get the Spirit. And so they want to receive the gifts of the Spirit without the Holy Spirit. It is absolutely impossible. They want to be holy without the Holy Ghost. No man is holy. The Bible declares that only God is holy. You cannot be holy without the Holy Ghost. Because it's something that happens inside of you and it penetrates and comes out of you. Holiness is not hairdos, it's not this and that. It is a spirit that comes only from God, because only God is holy. But friend, we are living in a day. The Bible teaches us in Revelation 12 that the devil will increase his intensity. He will increase his attack in the last days, knowing that he has but a short time. If that's the case, then the Church of the Living God needs to do the very same thing. We need to pray that the Holy Ghost would fall upon the church, whether it be Living Way Church or whether it be a Catholic church downtown, that everybody that loves Jesus and calls Christ their Savior would be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because we are in a real battle. And one of the things that we have been criticized in the last decade or two is sending our troops overseas to involve themselves in warfare and not giving them the best weaponry. And that is a disgrace if that is true on our American Army and servicemen. But it's equally true that we would come against a renewed attack of the devil, a re-intensified attack of Satan, and we would not be in the power of the Holy Ghost. So pray not only that you would be filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost, pray that your spouse, your family, your church, your friends, your fellow Christians of other tribes and other denominations, that they would be baptized in the Holy Ghost, because we need every soldier on the front line. But it does no good to have soldiers on the front line if they are weaponless, because praise God, it's not the might of man or the power of man, but it's the Spirit of Almighty God. Years ago, when we were in Fort Worth, Texas, in a great revival there, there was a serial killer that was working in Fort Worth. He was killing only women. He would grab them, he would rape them, and he would kill them. One night after revival service, he grabbed the secretary of the church. She was a single woman, unknown to anybody. He was in her car when she was one of the last ones to leave that great church. And he took her out of that parking lot, and he began to tell her what he was going to do. But all of a sudden, she began to speak with tongues and worship God. She said, "I didn't know what I was saying. I was just speaking in an unknown tongue." And finally, he said, "Get out of this car. Get out of this car." I believe today that woman would have been raped and killed at that moment had it not been the power of the Holy Ghost. Friend, there is a real satanic enemy in this world, and you should not leave your house or even live in your house without the shield of faith and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let's talk just a moment what John the Baptist said the Holy Ghost would do for you. "I indeed baptize you with water." I used this verse the other night. "Unto repentance, but he that cometh unto me, after me, is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." I did not use that word the other night, "and fire." The fire is absolutely imperative. We have to have it. We can't live without it. When you go into most churches today, you say, "What's wrong with this church? I just don't feel anything." What you're saying is there is an absence of the fire. And the reason why there's an absence of the fire is because they're not baptized in the Holy Ghost. When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you will say like the prophet, "It's like fire shut up in my bones." It becomes a tangible, real, living experience. What's the purpose of the fire? Number one, the Holy Ghost fire is a refiner's fire. Every human being has things in them that are opposed to the purpose of God for their life. And it is the Holy Ghost fire that will refine and burn out the dross that is in you, that God can become the sovereign authority in your life. Number two, it is fire that makes the hardest of substances pliable and formable. And so the human heart can be so hard. The Bible speaks about that often. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, the heart that was hardened toward the things of God can suddenly be made pliable by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Friend, I want to tell you, there's nothing to change your life by the power of the Holy Ghost. I was sharing with somebody when I was a young man, when people got saved in our churches, we didn't let them up until they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. We didn't just let them accept the Lord and send them on their way. We shook them, we drug them, we did whatever they had. We stayed with them a half a night, and we said, "You've got to get the Holy Ghost." But I can promise you, when those folks went out those doors, they left totally changed by the fire of the Holy Ghost. When I was a young boy, the meanest, most vulgar man in our little town just was a devil. But one night he came to church and sat on the back seat. The Holy Ghost was real. It got on this profane man. It got on him till he cried. It got on him till he shook. And he finally ran to the altar and gave his life to God. And for three days, he could not speak the English language. This vile, profane man that everybody knew as what he was became a Holy Ghost-filled preacher in just a matter of a year or two. And he pastored churches all over southern Illinois. Why? Because of the change of the Holy Ghost. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't have him, ask for him. If you have him, pray in the Holy Ghost and ask God to baptize your brother, your sister, your family, your church in the power of the Holy Ghost. Friend, we are not headed for easier days. We're headed for greater conflict and bigger struggles, greater battles and mightier wars. But I am not afraid, because my God said, I saw the end from the beginning. I will not send you out there to die. I'll send you out there to conquer. But you can't go in the flesh. You got to walk. You got to talk. You got to move. You've got to praise. You got to believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. Would you throw your hands up and give God some praise? It is the fire of the Holy Ghost that gives you the zeal and the enthusiasm for the things of God. The Greek word that goes back to enthusiasm literally means God within you. Friend, when you can drape yourself over a pew and yawn your way through a Sunday service, there's something drastically wrong with you. When you come into this place, you need to realize this is the house of God. This is the gateway to heaven. You need to be refreshed in your memory where the Lord has brought you from and where the Lord is taking you. You need to remember what you were before God reshaped you and remolded you and put you on that potter's wheel. There needs to be a song in your heart. There needs to be a hymn coming from your lips. There needs to be a praise. Why? Because I'm on fire. I got the Holy Ghost. I can promise you, folks, that the Holy Ghost does not jump in and out like a jackrabbit. When you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it comes to reside. And the Bible said it will quicken your mortal body. What does that mean? It means I don't get up every day just bouncing off the ceiling, but it doesn't take much encounter for that Spirit of God into me to begin quickened. Praise God. Before I've had my morning Diet Coke, most of you drink coffee. I don't drink coffee. I drink Diet Coke or iced tea for breakfast. That's the first thing I have. Before I have that, if there is a confrontation, if there's a phone call, if there's a conflict, I'm not ready to deal with that. I still got sleep in my eyes, wax in my ears. You know how it is. Oh, friend, I don't get up looking like this. This is a work of art. But regardless of how I look, when that phone call comes in and I recognize it is the adversary sending me a message, what's inside of me? That fire, it begins to turn over inside of me. Praise God. And I say, thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm not just a walking diploma. I'm not just a pulpit preacher. But I have inside of me the Spirit of the living God. And whatever weapon comes against me, I am now made ready to bring that weapon to naught. Because the Spirit that is in me is greater than the Spirit is in this world. Somebody shout amen. One person in the back of the building, give God a praise. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I beseech you, you're saved. And many of you have had the evidence of the Holy Ghost come and manifest in you. But you've put him to bed. Friend, I'm going to tell you, these are stormy seas. Somebody better go wake Jesus up. This boat's going to capsize. You need to stir up the gift that is within you. You need to wake up the Jesus that is within you. These are troubled times. But these are times when disciples get out of the boat and walk on the water and astound the unbeliever. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. I want the Holy Ghost to work through me. I believe He does. Sister Dean, every day, He does when I know it, and sometimes I don't even know it. I didn't know this. Hi, Pastor Fender. You don't know me, but I have a very interesting story to share with you. I'll try to make it short. I was struggling with trying to get free from alcohol and was not having very good success. I was a Christian, but nevertheless, I could not get free. On Thanksgiving Day, when I was feeling so hopeless because I had fallen off the wagon the night before, I picked up the telephone to call my brother. And when I placed the receiver to my ear, it was your voice. It was your voice. It was like I was on an old-fashioned party line. I sat there astonished as I listened to you counsel a woman about the grace and the mercy of God. This went on for several minutes, but it was God's lips to my ears. I so badly needed to hear about God's love, mercy, and forgiveness. I knew it was God speaking to me and telling me not to give up. I didn't. I have not had alcohol now for some time. By the grace of God, I thank God how He allowed me to pick up and listen in on your conversation instead of getting the dial tone. Thank you for preaching the love of God. She has no idea. I have no idea in this world of technology how the Holy Ghost connected. I don't even know what city she lives in. But God said there's a man with the Holy Ghost and there's a woman that needs the Holy Ghost. I was preaching in the Golden Triangle, Port Arthur, Beaumont area. And in the middle of my message, a nice building, seat about 1,000 people, all of a sudden a guy run right up in front of me and said, "Preacher, here I am." I said, "Who are you?" He said, "I work for the telephone company. I was up on the line, up on the pole this afternoon." He said, "I had to plug in and test the line. And I heard your voice say, 'Come down to Silsby First Pentecostal Church and get saved.'" I didn't say that, but that's what he heard on the television, on the telephone line. And he stood right there and gave his life to Christ. And I laid my hands on him, and God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. Hey, friend, let me tell you that God can skip across the bamboo curtain. He went behind the iron curtain. And if you think the modern technology of man, God can get in a computer. God can be in a digital signal. And we don't know how He does it, but it's the Holy Ghost and fire. He said the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can't stop it. Give God some praise. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't want to hurry through this because I want to spend a few hours on this. I want us to be electrified. I want us to be baptized. I want us to be set on fire. I want us to be lamps in a dark place. Hallelujah. Darlene Bishop called me yesterday. I was on a tractor. It was 103 degrees in a hay barn. She said, "You got a moment?" I've always got a moment. Everything I do is secondary to what we do. I said, "Yeah, I got a moment." I shut the tractor off. She said, "I wanted to tell you about Lawrence's sister. Lawrence Bishop died because he had what's known as black lung disease. He got it from the dust of arenas. And then it complicated things. Anyway, that's what caused him to die. His brother has the same thing. He has a sister that has died of the same thing." She said, "You know Wanda?" I said, "I know Wanda." Said, "You know when you were there?" Said, "Wanda hadn't been in church in weeks and months now. She can just come occasionally. But when she heard you were going to be there, she got to church and said, 'Steve, you prayed for her on that front row, you remember?' I said, 'I remember that.' So that's been about 2.5 weeks now." And said her husband called me and said, "Darling, we got to do something about Wanda." Said she's out running the lawnmower. Said she's making me work. And she got on the phone and said, "Darling, she's 70-some years of age." She said, "It's like I'm 25. She said, "My lungs don't hurt. My lungs don't burn." She said, "Darling, it's been 2.5 weeks. I hadn't drawn a decent breath in 20 years. But she said when he touched me, she said something began at the top of my head and it went to the sole of my feet. Darlene, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. There's somebody in this building now. You don't need another doctor. You don't need another counseling session. What you need is for the sister beside you and the brother next to you to begin to release the power of the Holy Ghost until it gets on you and you can't resist the power of the Holy Ghost. Give God some praise in this house. Oh, glory. Glory, 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 glory. The Holy Ghost is in this house right now. The Holy Ghost is in this house right now. There's somebody that the Holy Ghost is in you and it wants to come out. There's somebody that the Holy Ghost is outside and he wants to come in. Either way, the Holy Ghost wants to fill you tonight. Because if you will let the Holy Ghost fill you, I promise you, it will change your life. It will change the way you think. It will change the way you act. It will change the way you react. It will change your mental capacity. It'll change your attitude. It'll change the way you go about life. It'll work out things on your job. It'll fix the things in your marriage. It'll do something between you and your children. I'm telling you, it is the Spirit of God. That's all the Holy Ghost is. You know what demon possession is? It's when that devil just comes in and fills people up. It's a demon spirit. You know what the Holy Ghost is? It's the exact opposite. It's just God possession. He just comes in and fills you up. And tonight, God is saying, please, somebody, just take the lid off. Just open the door and let me come in. I'll fill you up. I'll overflow you. Your life will change dramatically. And then every day of your life, it becomes your responsibility to stir up that gift, to walk in the Spirit, to talk in the Spirit, to praise in the Spirit. Why? That the Spirit of God might dominate your life. Can somebody praise God? Somebody's going to get a miracle here tonight. Somebody's going to get a miracle. I'm about 3 or 4 minutes away from quitting, and I got this many notes up there. But praise God, I got 40 years left to preach this if Jesus don't come back. Praise God. The Holy Ghost is going to extend my life, Brother Harold, a long time. But praise God, I'm just going to preach a few more moments. But I want you to understand, that's the Holy Ghost whispering in your ear. That's the Holy Ghost taking you by the elbow. That's the Holy Ghost that's just sticking you like a pin. It's saying, let me be what I want to be. Because I am the power of the living God in the human family today. And if you'll let me do that, he said, I'll break every boundage that is on you. I'll set you free. I'll go before you and make the way straight. Before you get to your boss to ask for a raise, I'll touch his heart. Before you talk to your wife, I will soften her heart. Before you go down to the banker, I'll tell the banker to give you the money. I told you the other night, my favorite thing is when heathens say, I don't know why I'm doing this. That translates in, the Holy Ghost is at work. I don't know why I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make this loan. I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give you this house. I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to, there's somebody else that's got a college degree, you know, but I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to hire you. It's the Holy Ghost going, oh, friend, you don't know what it is. Oh, do you ever know somebody that knows somebody? And say, would you call them for me? That's a good deal. Just break the ice. But oh, what a life it is when the Holy Ghost works about 2 hours ahead of you. While I'm thinking about that, Sister Mary Blazer passed away this past week. What a wonderful lady. Mary and I always laughed because I could bring the greatest revelation in the world, and Mary always said the same thing to me. She'd say, Pastor, the Lord showed me that 2 weeks ago. Mary was always 2 weeks ahead of me. Now she's 25 years ahead of me. She's already in heaven. Praise God. But you don't know what it is. You don't know what it is to live a life where the Holy Ghost is a few hours ahead of you. Before you have to go to somebody, it don't matter if they're an atheist. The Holy Ghost go in there. You know, even atheists were made by God's hands.
So he still knows something about them. Even though they might not have accepted Christ, he still knows how their brain works. And he can talk to them on your behalf. Much of my favor in life has come from unbelievers because the Lord, the Holy Ghost, would go before me. And when I got there, instead of being no, it was yes. Yeah, we'll do that for you, preacher. Yes, sir, we'll do that for you. Why? Because the Holy Ghost is out in front of me. The Bible said that he, the Spirit of truth, will lead you. You can't lead nobody from behind. That means the Holy Ghost is always out in front of you. That means he fights the battle before you get there. That means he talks to the person before you get there. That means he opens the door before you get there. Friend, you just got to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You said, well, I spoke in tongues once 15 years ago. Oh, that ain't good enough, honey. No. You need to speak in tongues every day. You need to walk in the Holy Ghost. You need to learn what it is to just sing when you're by yourself. Said, they won't let me sing at church. Oh, you are the church, honey. You can sing anytime you want to. Sing in your car. Sing in the shower until you feel that thing turning over inside of you. And you say, it's the Holy Ghost. He's on me. It's the Holy Ghost. He's on me. You say, I'm timid. It's because the Holy Ghost don't got you. You might have the Holy Ghost, but he doesn't have you. Because when you got the Holy Ghost, when you get the Holy Ghost, praise God, and you let him have you, that timidity will go. You'll become like a lion. You will belie your personality. You'll say, I don't have any fear. The Lord is with me, and I have every confidence that no matter what the devil means for evil, the Lord is going to turn it for good in the name of Jesus. Jump up on your feet and give the Lord the biggest praise you can. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shoko satana la boria. Oh, glory to God, glory to God. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now. The Holy Ghost is here. That same Holy Spirit that manifests for Sister Wanda in Middletown, Ohio, and healed her 20-year illness is in this room right now. It wasn't me. It's the Holy Ghost in me. I still got him. You still got him. He still got us. He's in this room right now. Why don't you trust God and say, oh, I need a miracle tonight. And the Holy Ghost is able. If you've got a need in your life, I don't care what it is. If you need to be saved so you won't go to hell. If you need to be filled with the gift of the Spirit. If you need money in your bank account. If you need a healing in your body. Pastor Brandon's got something right here in his eye. I mean, his eyes, it's been getting worse the last couple of days. I just looked at it. It's an infection. I don't know what's happening. But praise God, I believe God can heal him right now. I can call my eye doctor in the morning. I got a good eye doctor. Or I can call my big doctor tonight, and his name is Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I bind the infection and whatever caused it. I command the pain to be gone, the irritation to be gone, the infection to be gone, to clear up in the name of Jesus. I call it done. In the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is on me. I can feel the Holy Ghost on me. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Sister Diane Hernandez here. Sister Diane, are you here? There you are. Come up here right quick. Diane and I, we have a lot of fun. I kid her all the time, but she paid me the greatest compliment. She said, I believe when you're out there preaching, something comes on you and you say things you don't even know what you're saying. It's the Lord. Praise God. She had a little granddaughter that had sickle cell. And how long ago has that been? 2 months? When I spoke the word? In February. I'm just preaching along. I don't know whether you know it or not. White folks don't have sickle cell. Sickle cell is not on my mind. But all of a sudden, I'm talking about sickle cell, and God wants to heal somebody. And I said that word, and Diane said, he don't know nothing about sickle cell. He's a white guy. And she said, that's got to be the Lord. She grabbed a hold of that, took her little baby, and praise God, she gave me the praise report while she was cutting my hair. That baby had been diagnosed as having sickle cell, but now that baby is totally healed in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. I said the Holy Ghost works on you. You say, well, the Holy Ghost don't work on me, preacher, because I ain't perfect enough. There is no such thing as perfect enough. You're either perfect or you ain't. And I ain't perfect, but God uses me to get people saved and healed and delivered and baptized. So what if you're not perfect? Your sacrifice's name is Jesus, and He's perfect. Reach your hands to the heaven and pull you down a miracle tonight in the power of the Holy Ghost and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shikosotoloyaha. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you're a mighty God. In the name